Hey everyone, the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians Benefit Day is Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. There's going to be hundreds of musicians playing all over town at retail stores, outside stages, downtown offices, from 6 a.m. to well past midnight. Also, there's going to be over 235 businesses donating 5% of the day's proceeds to HAM to help musicians' health. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to healthalliancefor.org.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Tom Howdy.
All right, hello. How are you guys doing, man? I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. There's a part of me that's a little anxious because it might rain tonight. It's raining now. It might rain tonight, so that means that my gig won't happen because it'll be raining. If it doesn't happen, I'm going to go see Susanna Schaffel, who is amazing, and who you've heard me talking about her. She was the first guest we had. She's on The Voice this season. I didn't see her on this week yet. Maybe she'll premiere next week. But she was in town last night. So I went out and met her. Her boyfriend, Paul, ran into Dan Dyer, great singer, great songwriter, a guy I've known for a long time, and he's going to be on the show soon. He's leaving to New York today to play. I'm going to New York next week to play. We're all playing the same place. Susanna's playing the day after me. We saw Gary Clark Jr., famous guy, hanging out. Great time. Then that was at this place called White Horse. Then I went around the corner to Hotel Vegas, and I saw some David Bowie Hoot Nights. Saw my man Benjamin Hotchkiss singing some Bowie songs. Saw the Bowie band was really good. Saw Miles Zuniga sing. He was great. And ran into my man Bruce. You guys know them. They've been on the podcast. Bruce, Miles, everyone. So anyway, great night last night. Had some cocktails, saw some friends. I did a lot of interviews yesterday. And before I get into my guest today, I do have to do a little bit of business and promote this show that I'm playing this Saturday. So Saturday, September 15th at 8 p.m., I'm doing a songwriter in the round at Flipnautics, 1601 Barton Springs Boulevard, Austin, or Barton Springs Road, Austin, Texas. You can check that out, Flipnautics. I'll be playing with Ray Prim, who is a guest on the podcast, and Lang Freeman from Sounds Under Radio, who was a guest on the podcast, and someone named Not So Low, who I don't know, but that's an interesting name. Maybe they'll be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. Come on out Saturday, September 15th, Flipnautics, 1601 Barton Springs Road. Me, Ray Prim, Lang Freeman, Not Solo. All right, that's what's going on. My guests today are Alexander and, half of it is with Kelsey. So Alexander and Kelsey from the band Wild Child, who are incredible. I reached out to a friend of a friend and who works with a band called Bright Light Social Hour, and they're out on the road, and she said, well, I also work with these bands. She sent me some music from the bands, and I was pretty blown away. And so my first interview with her bands was Wild Child. And it turns out my cousin Emily knows them, and she was like, oh, you're going to love them. And so I totally did. And the cool thing is that Alexander showed up. You'll see what happens. It's actually really funny. And Kelsey didn't know how to get here, and she found it in the middle of the interview. You hear she's yelling out Alexander around my apartment complex. It's so cute. They're completely adorable. They're totally talented, and they were really fucking funny. So I had a great time talking to them, and I love their music. They have a record they're getting ready to do with Ben Queller producing, so that should be pretty exciting. I'm excited about that. And without further ado, Alexander, and then in a little while into the interview, Kelsey shows up from the great band Wild Child. Let's get down.
Lost my breath, I'm feeling weak. My bones escape my skin. I don't know how it's been this long since I last let you in. Wishing I could find a way. Never have to hear you say you'll never spend another day alone.
So that's from your first album,
track one.
Well, that was weird.
Wanted to play again.
Yeah, I gotta fix it. I'm a terrible editor, and I also don't recognize my guests when they come walking down. You come walking down. I thought you came out of an apartment, so I was like, "Wow, look at this guy! Looks like he's in a band."
I kept thinking, you know, like we're good. Yeah, you know, like when you're going to meet like your interviewee.
I like
and interviewer.
At you guys, look back at my phone. That's what the interview is gonna be like.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna be like, yeah. Anyway.
You know, like when you got, like, you're supposed to meet someone in a coffee shop and you walk in, you're like, who's looking at me like they're trying to figure out if I'm the guy they're supposed to meet?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's always such an awkward dance.
Do you know Donnie Wynn, the drummer here in town?
Donnie Wynn?
Yeah.
I wish I did.
He's a really cool guy. He's this older dude. But first time I ever met him, he told me to meet him at Flipnotics. And when I was like, how am I going to know it's you? He goes, I'm going to be the only old dude out there with the skirt. And he was right. He's the only old dude wearing the skirt out there. It was pretty badass.
That would have been pretty awkward if there was another guy out there.
So Alexander, from the band Wild Child, tell me a little bit about what the band is. Like it started off.
It has evolved.
But now it's a six piece?
No, seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big old cool in the gang. It started off just Kelsey and I.
Right.
We were on tour. We got hired to play on this tour. Didn't know each other, for a band called The Migrant.
Mm-hmm.
This guy from Denmark. Great music. I got hired on to play accordion. Kelsey got hired on to play violin. And okay. So it was like a 7-week, 8-week tour. And I brought a baritone ukulele just because it fits in a van, you know,
yeah.
Kind of throw around, like, you don't have to like, move a guitar around in the seats
and
stuff.
Yeah.
So we started writing songs on that tour. Just clicked as friends, like right off the bat, and musically, just kind of were right on the exact same page. And just, it just happened so organically. We got back home and realized, you know, we lived right down the street from each other, and we were like, let's do it, let's make a band.
Yeah.
And so
were you guys like together at that point? Is there love brewing?
There's never really been that love thing there.
Well, your bio makes it read a little more ambiguously.
There's
love.
Yeah, it does do that.
So you guys are just pals, your best friends.
We are
and musical soulmates.
Absolutely. We do throw that term around a lot. And
musical soulmates?
I think it's true. I mean, I think I couldn't really do it without her, you know, write songs. I think I'll always be able to be in bands and, you know, collaborate. But writing is such an intimate process that I've never really figured out how to do it very well on my own.
Yeah.
And we just lock in so hard and easy.
Yeah.
Not to say that we don't fight and argue over shit, but
sure. Well, that's a normal.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do that. As long as you can do it and, you know, not run away, you know, or hate each other.
Sure.
Then you got it made.
And, you know, it happens quicker than any other process, you know, in any other band.
Yeah.
We have our first album out. It was released last October. We're headed back in the studio this year. We just cut down 20 tracks to 11.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just, they just spit right out.
How started this record with guys, or you recorded this record with guys in San Francisco?
Yeah, actually my cousin, so when we were on tour for The Migrant, it's kind of a funny story. We stayed with my cousin Evan in San Francisco, and that's when we wrote our first song.
Okay.
The three of us actually collaborated on it, and then we took that from there. We're at the next one in his kitchen, just Kelsey and I. And then the next day we wrote like two more. But he kind of became an integral role. So they came down, him and his buddy from San Francisco, because they really believed in the project and, you know, all the demos that we were sent them. They were like, this is some good shit.
Yeah.
So let's go get part of it. So they hopped train down here to record the album, and we just did it, you know.
Did they really hop a train?
No.
Or do you just using a figurative I'm just using language?
A, yeah, okay. It's a cool I've way
actually
to say.
Taken the train
really?
Before the gigs. Yeah, I decided I wanted to see America.
By it's, train?
Yeah. But I mean, I didn't see all of America.
Right.
But there's a bar on there.
Is there really?
Yeah. It's better than driving.
How expensive?
So cheap. Really? It's almost like a bus ticket.
No way.
But there is a bar on there. Now, having said that, you're going to spend an extra 70 bucks if you're me on Bloody Marys.
70. I'm talking.
yeah.
If I'm taking a train to San Fran, I'm getting
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot more. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so they came down here. And where did you guys record?
We rented this house in East Austin. We called it the Chateau. And it was this, you know, we got this house off Craigslist. Big old awesome house. Went down there, went to Rock and Roll Reynolds. Alex Peterson is the producer, and it was one of Evan's friends up in San Francisco. Not really, you know, it was kind of his first stab at producing, but, you know, just this whiz with sound and mics and shit. And so we go to Rock and Roll Reynolds. They had a little bit of gear. You know, we kind of brought all of our gear together, got everything we needed. In this empty house, there was no furniture in this house or anything.
And so by this time, I'm sorry, Kelsey, did you and Kelsey already get the rest of the group?
No. We
like it's the 60s.
Yeah.
You have a group.
We got the group. We pieced it together enduring. You know, okay. It was like, you know what would be badass? A cello.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know what I hear?
So you were doing that while you were recording.
Right.
Okay. So go ahead. So you guys go to Rock and Roll Reynolds.
Yeah.
So you amass as much gear as possible.
And so we go back. And we knew that, you know, we knew that we had some songs that we were like, we need to keep them just the two of us. You know, this is, and everyone was like, the thing I love about y'all is just that it's like this, you know, really simple two piece thing, ukulele, violin, two voices. And we were like, yeah, I agree on some of it. But we had, like, ideas for these bigger ones. Yeah. So we wanted to get them out.
And I mean, that's a tough... You have to be in a listening room or, like, a coffee shop. You can't really go to a club.
Right.
You can't really go to and rock the club without drums after 10.
Oh, I know. And, you know, and
you're going to get swallowed up by the sound.
In our, you know, our
especially
second
with
album.
Ukes.
Right, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah, our second album's going to be even bigger just because, you know, from playing...
With
over the
band.
Past year. Yeah. It's like, you know, just like you said, you're going to get drowned out. No one wants to hear, no matter how good it is, just two soft little things in a bar.
I mean, it sounds soft.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like something you'd have to perform. I mean, to get a reference for myself, like Cactus Cafe.
Exactly.
Like I imagine seeing you guys there.
Yeah. You know, and we have great gigs for that, but we can also, we have learned how to turn up the heat and, you know, bring it down.
Right.
And that's, I think that's going to be really important, or you know, you'll definitely be able to see that on our next album.
Right. So you guys are recording this record and how long did you have the house? How long did you take to do it?
So we thought that it would take 3-4 weeks. You know, we thought that we'd be able to bang it out. It was also during the middle of South By. And so we had, three or four shows for Wild Child, and then I was, you know, that band that we were playing with from Denmark came back down to Austin, and he had about 4 or 5 shows lined up, and then we were both playing in this other band, Grandchild. And so we had, you know, 10 plus shows that week, and that was one of the weeks that we were supposed to be recording. So we'd go and play this show, you know, and then come back and, you know, stay up all night and record some shit. So that week was super nuts, and then we were dead the week after that.
Yeah.
And so this is like, we were on a time crunch, you know.
You're supposed to be giving the best performances you possibly
right,
can
right.
on all the shows.
I'm out and, getting wasted and on the streets, you know, I want to see Jack White. I'm not fucking recording tonight.
Right,
know?
Right.
And then, so we had a month to do it, and we didn't get it. we didn't finish in time. So we decided to go up. So they had to go back to San Francisco, so we went back to San Francisco with them and did the same kind of thing up there, rented a bunch of gear, sat in an apartment, and finished up as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then we had to, you know, didn't even finish everything there. So Evan and Alex decided to move down to Austin. They're like, let's just move back down there and we'll finish it there. So they both broke up with their girlfriends, packed up their...
That's the most commitment you can imagine for
yeah,
people working on a record.
I know.
Wow.
I know. It was great.
Did you feel some sort of responsibility for them in any way?
Yeah, yeah, of course. You know, it's like, well, I hope it works out. You know, like, I hope people like the album.
Yeah.
Or else, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so they get down here, got a little more studio time, got all the pickups. And then it was, you know, Kelsey and Alex. We call him Uncle Petey. That's our producer, Uncle Petey. Kelsey, Uncle Petey, and myself just sitting around mixing, trying to learn how to mix shit, you know?
Yeah.
And that took forever. That was actually some of, you know, my favorite times, was figuring out, like, oh, that sounds so boss. That sounds so boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn that up, turn that up, turn that up. You know, just like,
yeah, yeah.
Just reform, having a bunch of fun with it. And then, we, you know, we got it mastered at Cacophony Studios here.
Right.
And then tried to figure out how to release an album, you know? So it was funny, though. October 27th was the first song that we wrote, and we had it documented on a camera and everything. And our album release show is October
27th. Oh,
so,
wow.
So 1 full year on the day later, we released Pillow Talk.
That's really not a long time, really, if you think about it.
No, no. I mean, it happened really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And just kind of how
and
it's
so when you released the album, then you started playing shows with the whole band, or had you already been playing shows with the big band before that?
Yeah, I mean, while we were recording, we were like, oh, we love cello. I think, you know, cello would complement this. And then our drummer from The Migrant plays with us now, too, as well. So we had that. Evan, my cousin, plays keys.
Okay.
So he plays keys in the band.
He's got something to do since he moved down here and the album's over.
Exactly, exactly. And then we have... fuck, I even forget who's in our band sometimes. We got a bass player. We didn't have any bass on the album. And then we had our buddy Chris, you know, the entire time we were recording was like, dude, you need bass. You need bass. And he's the bass player for Eastern Sea. And we were like, no, we don't. And then, like, one day he was like, just let me come. I've learned all the songs. Let me come to one of the practices and let me show you. And he got there and we were like, yeah, we need bass. Yeah. We need bass. Yeah. And so that was our seventh member. We also have our banjo player who plays accordion and shit.
And so when you guys are starting soon, the new record? On October 27th, that's when you should start. That's what I would do.
We've been in pre-production with...
Who are you doing it? With Uncle Petey?
No, we're actually doing it with... I don't even know if I'm allowed to say it yet, but I guess I will. Yeah, but we're doing it with Queller, Ben Queller.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing it with him. So we've been...
Wow. So, let's talk about that. How did he hear about you guys?
He heard about us through...
He seems like a nice guy. Never met him, but I've...
Great guy. Yeah.
Ever since his first solo record, I've been a huge fan.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fantastic, man. There's a chick that works for him that heard us and then brought up, they have a label called Noise Company. And I guess in one of their meetings, they were talking about new bands to check out.
Yeah.
And we got brought up, he heard it, contacted us and was like, you know, just let you know, if you're looking for a producer for the next album, just throw my name in the hat. You know, I'd love to do it. I'm sure you got other stuff going on. And we were sitting there like, no, we don't really have anything else going on. Like, yeah, that sounds good. So for the past month or so.
Were you a fan of his before?
Oh, yeah.
Were you like,
who's
this
guy? The first meeting that we had, you know, I was trying to keep it kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ben, huh?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were out at a bar, and by the end of it, I was like, dude, I used to love you so much. And, you know, I was like, you signed my Air Jordans when I was like 15, you know, like.
So you've been into music for a long time?
Yeah, totally.
Where'd you grow up?
Houston. So Houston, Texas.
Yeah, what part of Houston?
Memorial.
Yeah.
It's kind of right outside.
You're living the dream.
Yeah, yeah.
In that area. Did you go to Stratford or something?
I actually, you know, Strike Jesuit.
Of course. That's like a block from me and Emily's grandma's
house. Oh, yeah? No way.
My cousin Emily knows you.
Yes.
She likes to get shout outs on the show.
Emily.
It's the only way she'll actually listen.
Emily, so, hello.
She probably has stopped listening by now because she hadn't heard us mention her in like the first 10 minutes. Doesn't work.
That was our bad.
Were you a musician early on? Were there music people in your house?
My dad
is one of those guys that he's got, you know, we've had a room, our music room, that's got everything, and it's always been there, and it's got, you know, fucking everything.
You have brothers and sisters?
I have a sister.
Okay.
Not musically inclined.
Okay. But your dad was?
Dad is. And we used to jam, you know, my parents are split, but one thing that we would do on his weekends was...
It was jam.
Jam. Now, you know, probably the worst jams of all time, you know. But it was a ton of fun. And there was always, like, you know, we'd play Spin the Dial, and it was one of these, like, old Casios with, like, a little drum loop thing with, like, you know, you got the march and the salsa.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd spin the dial, and then, you know, whatever it landed on, you'd go find an instrument, and then we'd jam on it for a while. And then I'm like, spin the dial, spin the dial.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so spin the dial.
How old were you when you were doing that?
I mean, that started real young, before I can, you know, when I was learning how to play D chords and shit, you know.
Yeah. But how old was that?
12, probably.
Okay.
11, 12.
All right.
I got my first guitar when I was 9. And, you know, I used to, like, it was a purple Stratocaster.
Yeah.
And I used to crank music, like, beyond the level that you can hear me actually play, and then just jam along.
Yeah.
And that was me playing guitar for about 2 years.
In front of a mirror?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, doing all my rock star moves.
What was the, what were you putting on the stereo at that point? What were you jamming?
Blink, 182.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's it. So you're a young guy.
Yeah, young guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
you
young
can't,
guy.
You can't blame me for that.
No.
You know.
Hey, you were 12 and, you know.
Yeah, I was 12 and, you know, I had a purple Stratocaster with stickers on it. And
so you were influenced by like a pop punk early on? Did you start a band then? Or did you?
Yeah. What was the name of that band? Malkovich.
Oh, good name.
Yeah, Malkovich was the name of the first band. And then there was, what else have I had? I went under Alexander and the Jaguar Sharks for a long time.
That's a great name.
So
were you the front guy then? Or you didn't write songs?
Yeah.
Or did you?
Yeah. I was the front guy, but there were some bad stuff. You know, it was all beginner stuff for sure. And, you know, I don't think I really even honed in on how to write a song until...
But were you... Was that the plan? Were you on your way, like, I'm going to be a music guy? Or were you like...
Yeah, you know, it was one of those... I mean, I always knew that I'm very rational, and so, you know, I could be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a musician, I'm going to do that, but then on the back of my head, I'm like, you know what the odds are of making it in music,
right.
And, like, I was so, you know, what is going to be the best for my life kind of thing.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't think it ever was the plan to do it full time. I finished high school and got into the McCombs Business School here at UT.
Okay.
So I was like...
So you were... I mean, was there a business dream? Well, I mean, was there a sort of like, well, I'm going to be this guy. I'll have a room like my dad has.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was
spin
kinda,
the dial.
That was kind of
the
thought. It was like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I thought it would be cool to be like a flight attendant and go travel around a bunch. And then I was like, maybe it would be cool to start some like little fruit store in Hawaii. Maybe that's what I want to do with my, you know, it was just like, maybe I want to go to France.
Right.
To be a painter.
So you weren't like, I got to make it in show business.
Not at all.
Okay.
It was, I got into this dope school, so I'm going to go do that. And then I'm going to figure it out in the middle.
And so you went to the dope school.
I went to the dope school.
You graduated?
Graduated.
So you're like a business whiz.
You know, I graduated from a super good business school, but I think that, and I bet the school would agree that I'm probably the worst student that's ever gotten through. Yeah, I remember.
What were your parents, were they worried about? Was your dad like, oh, he's going to go play music, man. Dude, I never got to. I went to the McCombs.
No, I don't think so. My dad's awesome. Super supportive. If I'm like, you know, Dad, I made some really good macaroni yesterday. I think I'm going to get into like gourmet macaroni. And he'd be like, cool, go do it. You know, he has like full faith.
What does he do?
Like,
what does he do?
He owns a commercial real estate company in Houston called GEMSA. So kind of, you know, a suit and tie, hates his job, makes good money.
He's got the jam room.
He's got the jam room.
Yeah.
He's actually getting really into steel guitar right now.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's badass.
Yeah,
so it's gonna make the jams.
So what about when was he into? Was he? Did he join you in your Blink 182 things, or was he like, no, come on, you gotta hear this?
No, he never pushed me in any kind of direction. He was really into Steely Dan. I remember.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and he, of course, he got me into the Beatles and stuff.
Fucking yeah, jammed with Skunk.
Is that guy?
I jammed with him for a couple of days.
How about that?
Yeah, and hung out with him. He's fantastic.
Huh.
He's an anti-terrorism expert for the United States Department of Defense.
No shit.
Yeah. And he's the guitar player from Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers.
That's awesome.
Unbelievable.
What a life that guy's lived.
He has.
Yeah.
He was also a session guy that just went around LA all day, like to different studios playing sessions.
I believe
in the
70s. That.
Anyway, so your dad was into Steely Dan and
yeah, and the Beatles were a big one, of course.
You got some Beatles. I mean, I listened to your stuff over the last couple of days.
Beatles are a huge influence.
Yeah.
I mean, which is such a cliche thing to say, but...
I know.
Sorry. I know. Yeah, that's just the way it is. I got super into the Beatles in high school, a little late in the game.
So what about Kelsey? What's she into? What was her... Is she from Houston?
She's from Wimberley.
Okay.
She's like a river hippie chick, you know?
She sounds river hippie.
Yeah, she is. She doesn't wear shoes if she doesn't have to.
Really?
Rather be in the river than in a job. She's a nanny for a couple kids. Yeah, she's a real free spirit. Really cool. You know, like, she was supposed to be here at this podcast.
Yeah.
But
my girlfriend who
couldn't come
broke up with me at the beginning of the summer was like that too.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be here. But all of her shit's just here now. That's a podcast for a different time. So what did you do when you got out of college?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out.
You had
here's the thing.
Okay.
So my last semester. Actually, yeah. All right. So
you were the worst student in the McCombs business.
Oh, just absolutely the worst. Yeah.
We got to recap that. Good. I like that.
So I was playing in bands. I was playing in a band called Clubs at the beginning of college. And then I joined a band called Grandchild, who's a really good buddy of mine, Andy Lane. He's in another band called Driver Friendly.
Where were you guys playing? What was the... You guys Red River guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of like the shitty headhunters or anything like that.
Right.
But, you know. So, let's see. Did you hear something?
Yeah.
It sounded like my name. I don't know. Now it I'm did. Tripping. Wait,
here. Push stop really fast.
Yeah.
Record play.
Hi. You know what? You can sit right there next to Alexander. Right. What's your dog's name?
This is Ranger.
Hi, Ranger. You are exactly as you were just described.
Yeah,
in this
podcast. I was just talking about you.
You probably would not be wearing shoes. And you're not wearing shoes.
I'm not wearing shoes.
We were just talking about that, and I was like, she's like a free spirit.
I literally just found this place on feeling. I didn't know you. I did not know your apartment number. I did not know where he lived.
Is that where you were screaming, Alexander?
Yeah.
I heard it in the headphones. I was like,
I was going on feeling, and I could kind of hear some mumbling, and I had a feeling it was in the 700s. I went to building 7, and I saw your car. It's like, okay, I'm going to walk around the building, and I'm just going to find it. And sure enough, the only door I knocked on.
I can't hear anything, can I?
Yeah, hello.
Are we playing that thing?
All right.
Hand benefit?
No, I just have that on there because I'm going to do a public service announcement. You are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at that. We can talk about it now.
October 27th is our date.
So Kelsey Wilson is now here.
Woo!
I'm in.
All right. Welcome.
Hello.
And what's your dog's name?
This is Ranger.
Hi, Ranger.
Also known as Hollywood.
And he's very laid back.
Yeah, he's a chill.
I like a dog whose name is Hollywood.
Hollywood.
He might have a bong.
He does.
Or an 8-ball.
He has 3.
He had like blonde hair around his butthole. We got him Hollywood, so we thought he would get in his
butthole bleached.
Yeah.
So Kelsey, we were talking about Alexander's rock and roll experience, and he was just getting out of the McCombs School as the worst student playing in bands on Red River.
Yeah.
And
sounds about right.
Uh-huh. And so how long ago was that? Like a couple years ago or something?
A couple years ago. Yeah. And this is where it gets fun because okay. this is right part of the story where she drops in.
This is how we met.
Yeah.
Backseat Business School.
Backseat Business School. So my last semester of college, I got asked to play in the Migrant.
Right, the Danish band.
Yeah. And
I was already on board to go on tour with them.
And what, you were playing violin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I was like, I want to go, but I'm still in school.
Yeah.
And so I talked to all my professors, and I was like, I'm going. So let me get that out right now. I'm going to go on the tour. So do you want to work with me and let me, like, go on the tour? I'll take all the tests. I'll, like, email you. I'll read the books. I'll come back. I'll do the exams. You know, just let me go.
And they're like, how much worse can he be?
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
He doesn't come to class.
Yeah.
This way, maybe he'll email me. I don't know.
And so they let me go. And so we created Backseat Business School.
Yeah. I knew he wasn't going to do anything. And it was cartoonish because he had to pass one test to graduate.
Yeah.
And he had one book of information on it, just like random court cases. So I sat in the back seat with him. We'd go to a gas station and get Brass Monkey supplies, just get big, cheap beer and orange juice, and we would just read these court cases.
And then she'd quiz me on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was actually, like, it was
that,
like,
sounds great.
The first time,
fun, yeah.
The first time in any schooling experience where it's like, you know, if you read these books, it's actually pretty interesting. Yeah, it's like, huh. You know, I learned that at the very end. But yeah, ended up getting an A in the class, got back from the tour, you know, went and took the test, aced it. But yeah, that's how we met. We did a
Backseat Business
School. So we were writing songs in the van, we were studying in the van, mm-hmm. getting drunk in the van.
Learned a lot about awesome court cases.
Yeah.
And became great friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And musical soulmates.
Neighbors back and in neighbors. Austin too. Yeah.
So we got there. So Kelsey, what is your story?
Perfect.
You're from Wimberley.
I'm from Wimberley. From a little river town.
Uh-huh.
Homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
I have five. Were you
homeschooled? Homeschooled, but not homeschooled because your parents wanted you to believe in creationism.
No.
Okay.
It had nothing to
hippie
do with
homeschooling.
It was hippie homeschooling.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We all. They wanted us all to play instruments and learn how to garden, and so I've got five brothers and sisters, and we all lived at home, did our work. The older kids would help teaching the younger kids.
Where do you fall in the?
I am third.
Okay, so you're the middle kid.
I'm in the middle of six, yeah. Yeah,
whoa.
I mean, at first we homeschooled, and then I figured out about the internet, and I would just print out lessons and then write in the answers and then say, hey, Mom, look what I did today.
Yeah, I'm sure all that stuff is online. So
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, once I figured that out, I didn't do much work. But I had to go to public school and eventually...
How did that go? Like going from public school, I mean, going from homeschool to public school.
I loved it. I was so weird by that.
What did your parents do? Garden,
regular stuff. No, my mom, neither one of them.
Regular stuff.
They have realtor and web stuff.
Oh, so they weren't like.
They wanted their kids to play music and
be free.
Be free.
Rangers digging the.
Their names are.
Checking out the place.
He loves it. You can hear that jingle. Their names are Buddy and Holly.
Really?
And they are, yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
They're, yeah.
Buddy wow. Holly.
They're pretty cool folks.
Buddy Holly. That always makes me chuckle.
So when you went to public school, you were okay? You didn't have too much of a shock? You were weird?
I loved it. Yeah. I loved that I had this weird, weird background that set me apart. And so I got to do whatever I wanted.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what did you do? So were you going to be a musician then? Were you, or did you have a dream of some sort?
I was a theater kid.
Oh, you were?
I was a Shakespeare nerd. Actually, on the Migrant tour, I actually had to leave one of our biggest sold out shows in Chicago because my Shakespeare company in Austin was paying to fly me back for the closing weekend of I think Midsummer Night's Dream that I was in.
Wow.
So I was doing it both.
So you're still acting?
Nope. Don't have time anymore.
You don't?
No.
This wild child has taken over.
Wild child's taken over. Theater shows happen the same time as music, so your Friday and Saturday nights are taken.
I'm so bummed I've never seen any of your acting.
I'll do it again one day.
There's no way you can keep a straight face.
No, I will never let you.
Did you do like trying to do commercials or
no,
film
just
or just stage? You were like an actual theater kid.
Mm-hmm. I was at, well, Shakespeare in particular, I was a thespian. fan. I tried to bring back old English for a long time. It didn't work. No one wants to talk like that.
Thou hast forgotten thine shoes.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something to say. That's the best I could do.
My mom owned a booth at the Renaissance Festival when I was a kid, yeah? So that's where I pick up my shake. It's not even from Shakespeare. It's actually Renaissance Festival language. So after high school, what'd you do? Did you go to college?
Ran away to Europe for a couple years to.
Literally, ran away. Like mom. You don't understand how I feel.
No, we hosted an exchange student from Barcelona, and it was her time to leave Wimberley. She'd been there for a little over a year, and we had grown so incredibly attached that I dropped out of high school and was just like, going with you. And I enrolled in high school in Spain just to try and get credits, but none of them transferred, and I skipped too much. So I basically.
So you did? You ran away. What, were your parents freaking out?
No, because they knew the family I was with, and they knew, yeah, it was, yeah, it was a more of a exchange. They sent another Spaniard to my family. I went to their family. Now their youngest kid is with my family now.
Really?
Is that that gross?
Don't your parents worry that these kids are going to start taking their kids back to Europe with them?
They always do. My little brother went. My little sister's about to go.
Yeah. I guess that's where the exchange part comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
the import-export business your parents got running.
And they all, import-export it. They do it when we're 16, 17, so when we're real big shitheads. They just...
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So what did you play in Barcelona?
I did. What did you do? I enrolled myself. I found a job teaching music for little Asian English-speaking Spaniards. Weird group of kids.
How do you find that? That's a Craigslist-specific Craigslist.
There was a music school that I started taking lessons at, but my teacher only spoke Catalan, which is like the French-Spanish language. But And so I was learning Catalan so I could go to lessons with this one guy, and he told me he had a lot of Asian families moving in that wanted their kids to play violin, but they didn't speak Catalan or Spanish.
Right.
So he hired me on as like his English teacher.
So are you fluent in Spanish?
I was.
You were?
Catalan. I was in the one, very strict Catalan village.
A lot of lisping. A
lot of...
Hola.
So when did you, how did you find your way back to the United States? You realized that?
I wanted to play music, and I knew how incredible the music scene was in Austin, because I played a couple shows before with our drummer, Carrie, when I was in high school. I would like sneak out to Austin and play late night shows with him, and I had a blast. I knew I wanted to keep doing that, and I was doing the whole classical thing in Spain, but other than classical music, there's not much of a... There's like a classical scene and a ska scene.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want to do too much of either of those things. Mm. So.
Ska.
Yeah, ska.
Yeah.
So came back to fucking to ska. Play, so fucking ska.
What is it, like 1997?
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't want to do that. So I had to come back to do some music. It's time to get home.
So what'd you do? You came back? You move in with your parents?
No. I went to Austin.
Okay, yeah.
Moved in Austin. Enrolled myself in like community college, tried to do like theater stuff, found another company to work with. But once I started playing with a rapper first, Dr. Dog. Not Dr. Dog.
Oh, that guy.
Doc Deuce is his name.
He's like, Doc Deuce? Tell me about this rapper, Dr. Dog.
I was just listening to Dr. Dog in the car. Doc Deuce is the rapper here in Austin, and I started playing with him. Started playing with a rockabilly band called Dead Town. Like, I was just answering Craigslist ads for anyone that wanted a violin.
Oh, really? Mm. What was going on musically? Like, I'm trying to figure out how a violin player does when they put their ad in the paper.
What was
the music?
I answered them. So I played hip hop and jazz with Doc Deuce, and that was weird. All the songs were about weed and racism. So not only was I the only white person in the band, I was the only female. And that was a blast. That was a blast.
Or there was like, bitch, better play that violin.
No, it was just creepy. The shows were always super creepy because it was always really scary older men buying you mystery drinks. And
yeah.
I was sneaking into these bars because I still wasn't 21.
Right.
So it's particularly sketchy and really fun.
Doc Deuce.
Yeah, then what did you do after Doc Deuce?
Started playing in a rockabilly band called Dead Town.
Uh-huh. How was that?
It was a blast. It was my first.
So that was more of a fiddle style?
More of a fiddle than violin? Yeah. More of a fiddle. And just playing with anyone and everyone. Bluegrass, rockabilly. And then started playing more with our drummer, Carrie, on his material. And once the migrant, Carrie, the Danish guy, the migrant, needed a band to put together, Carrie called me and asked if I would drop out of school.
What is that music like, the migrant? I haven't even asked.
Danish psychedelic rock.
It's awesome. It's beautiful.
Cool. Yeah.
It is awesome.
And what did you play on there? Guitar?
Accordion.
Accordion.
And bells. And a little banjo and uke.
Oh, so.
That's little, auxiliary.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
What kind of. How do you do your ukulele? Do you have one of those? I have one of those little pickups that has a little gummy thing on it. Let's see what it did.
Oh, yeah, those are shit.
A Dean Markley. I've never used it live. I was gonna.
Yeah, yeah, those are shit. You know, so.
He's got the hookup. He's got a sponsorship.
Yeah, I got a sponsor now.
Melee.
You guys are
Melee,
like. Ukulele. I mean, I'm not downing you, but I'm not like, you have one album. I never heard of you. You have like famous people are working with you. You get free pickups. I have nothing.
We got really lucky.
I have a podcast.
Yeah, we're just fucking lucky dogs.
We got real lucky.
It just keeps like piling in our laps.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're lucky that you met each other.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'm going to say I'm a little bit bummed that you're not boyfriend and girlfriend.
That's what it
was. I was really, I was going to be, are you guys going to start lying about it? You can.
Well,
I can edit this part of the podcast out.
We had this mystery, like, are they brother, sister? Are they
alive? Yeah, it was kind of like we should ham up that Jack White.
Yeah, whatever.
Thing, you know?
Everyone liked it.
I wouldn't buy the brother and sister thing. Because you look like,
I mean, I kind of forget about this, but before we released the album, we were thinking about ways to spin it in like really our weird ways, like our backstory, and then like go for it. But it just never felt.
It never felt. Right. It just when we first started playing shows, neither one of us was comfortable singing or liked being on stage alone at all. So we would just stare at each other the whole time, and it was the scary if we look at the audience, then there is an audience, and they're gonna hate us. So we just like stared at each other the whole time. So that's where that. Most of the people who started coming to our shows were like, they're so cute, they're in love, and they don't stop staring at each other.
I saw there was a couple that was on tour that some friend of mine was like, you gotta see these people,
was
man.
Was it Shovel and Rope? We meet so many badass couples on the road. They're the best.
Shovel and Rope? No, maybe. I don't know. They have a lot of songs about weed. No. Like, a lot of songs about weed.
That's pretty awesome.
I think all their songs are actually about weed.
A couple just
It was just weird.
About.
It was just kind of like,
I love you, and I love
these guys
weed.
Are, like, on tour, and it's kind of like one of those things where, like, I've been on tour for, you know, for a long, long time, and at one point in the early 90s, I was in, like, a weed band. and when
awesome.
You're out on tour,
early 90s weed band,
right. But like you're in like Kansas City or something, you don't have any weed, so you just kind of like, man, hey, let's you know, so you're singing some song and you're about to play a solo and you're like, this would be better with some weed. You know what I mean, like dropping the weed vibe so that people will give you weed, like, hey, I'm just
a
little hint.
He wears a shirt that says I want drugs.
Yeah looking drugs. For
See?
Drugs
that's
after
the
show,
way to go.
And
yeah
then, yeah,
people
that's even better.
He's genius.
Because that way, you know, it's you're constantly saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally.
It's not like someone was in the bathroom and didn't hear you say it.
I want weed.
Doc Deuce's secret. He had secret songs. They would be titled like. Doc Deuce's songs would be called like "Green is my favorite color" or like super just like. I don't know, just sneaking it in there.
Right. So when do you start this new album?
December.
December.
Yeah,
okay, so you got a little while.
We're in pre-production right now.
What do you guys have going on between now and December?
ACL?
Some pre-production. You're going to play ACL?
Got ACL.
What,
ACL.
You guys are just like, what?
Yeah, I know, man. That's what I'm saying.
We're playing ACL and we're playing CMJ up in New York.
We can explain a little bit of how it happened.
We can explain our fame to you step by step if you would like to enjoy it.
We got on
Hype Machine.
What is that?
It's this blog aggregate.
Okay, so it's like a...
Yeah, okay. And so we got on Hype Machine right when our album dropped, and it got up
to number one
to the number
like
one track, and it was like, what the fuck, how did
that
happen?
One song, Pillow Talk, was the most talked about song on Twitter for like 3 days for some reason,
and so that was dope. But then it happened again, and this is like, you know,
everything's lining up properly. It happened again Sunday night before South By last year.
Like right before a showcase.
Somebody.
So we had
three songs on the top five during the week of South By. So any label or any booking agency that was coming down to,
had like a list of who to see, and it was like, well, the number.
Do you guys have like a manager?
No. Mm-mm.
You guys are just hanging out.
Yeah.
Oh, you got
we got
Melissa.
Mel. Yeah.
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 I don't know.
We got Mel. Mel.
Yet. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to her. That's why you're here. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
She,
so wow.
We just got lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. And so WME, William Morris, they came out and checked out some stuff, heard about us, contacted us the week after South By, and was like, "We want to represent you."
And we were like, "Do some booking."
Shit on my face. That's yeah. amazing.
Yeah, so we were like, cool. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, that's sweet.
WME.
Yeah, we don't have a label. We don't have a manager.
So this Major Nation, you made that up?
Yeah, it's
fun. Yeah. I'll tell the Major Nation.
Yeah. Our like one of the PR guys that we hired, Brett Cannon, was like, that's smart to have like a fluff label.
To make, but then everyone we met like during South By was like, so I found you guys are already signed. You're not interested in anything else. And it was like, no, we're not. That's
no, that's made yeah. up. Why? That's fake.
Yeah. That's me. That's like us. We're
wink, 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 wink.
We are Major Nation.
So you're gonna play ACL,
mm-hmm.
and then you're gonna play CMJ,
mm-hmm. and then CMJ,
and then what?
We're playing that Ham Benefit.
And then
thing.
You're playing this Ham Benefit on uh-huh. October 2nd. Do you know when you're playing? Because I can't read anything in there, and I purple
ours
vision.
Is actually. I guess there's another one. There's one October 27th as well.
Oh.
Hopefully.
Well, this is the one that it's all the day. October 27th.
October 27th.
That's the day.
That's the day?
That's the magic day. No, that's y'all's magic day.
Oh, my God. It is the magic day.
I know. I told you.
That's
crazy.
Wow.
Line up, dude.
God, it's a good thing I listened during
this. Yeah. We didn't even know.
I know.
I was like,
remember, that's your day?
What happened?
What do you mean?
What happened on that day?
What do you mean? Yeah, and then after that, I mean, like, we're in, like, balls deep in teaching everyone the new
parts,
songs.
Because we want the new. Yeah.
God, that's what you're doing in pre-production. You're breaking down the songs. Are you going in like, hey, this, and then you're like, wait, let's try it without drums for this part. Mm-hmm. Or let's.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of that tedious stuff.
Yeah.
Just playing them over and over and over until we decide.
Here, check it.
Shit we're going to do.
What is this?
This will be a little taste of some.
What
just
is it?
Demos.
A little bullshit.
So we make these demos
on your phone
to everyone,
and
yeah.
then play them to everyone, and then
man,
start working on.
Do you guys ever want like an older, creepy guy in your band that has the podcast?
Yeah.
And I play a lot of instruments,
yeah.
and I already have a ukulele, Casio, and a fellatiotron.
That's our
yeah.
eighth member.
I got the bass.
There we go. Yeah.
So yeah, so we
record those. And
thank you for the sneak peek.
Yeah,
that's a How Did I Get Here exclusive.
Uh-huh.
Exclusive track.
Exclusive
demo from Wild Child. Welcome
Alexander
to the show.
Puts his iPhone up to the microphone.
What is your website where people want to find you? I guess right now you just Google Wild Child and just all this stuff's going to come up.
No.
Are you friends with my cousin Emily?
Emily who?
Emily yeah. Antonetti.
Falon, that shop.
Oh, yeah.
There, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Falim.
Shit.
She is awesome.
This is the one I'm not allowed to show people.
Shit.
No.
Oh, my God.
That's like seventh grade.
That's awesome.
The best is the shoes in that picture.
Wow.
I'm showing them a picture of Emily in seventh grade, her school
just
picture.
I should give this to her and be like, is this what I was looking for?
Be like, hey, I was wondering, I got a picture of some shoes I wondered if you could find
she
for me.
She was just helping. We were just making a new music video, and I had to look like I was from like the early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
And so I went over to her shop, and she was just talking to me about it. We were Googling like Clarissa Explains It All and Clueless and all this stuff. But this is pretty much exactly what you told me to
that's
buy.
That's actually probably from the year of Clueless.
Yeah.
It must have been.
Oh, man.
So, you can leave it out. I've got other guests today.
Oh, okay.
Be our point of conversation. So you have a website, wildchild.com?
Wildchildsounds.com.
There is a Doors cover band, the Jim Morrison Experience, called Wild Child. But we don't have any problems because they don't have any original material.
Yeah,
so
we win.
But I will tell you, at some point in your career, somebody's going to show up in Omaha fucking pissed.
Someone did. Yeah. Blues on the Green.
Last year I came and saw fucking Wild Child, and now it's this bullshit ukulele band.
That actually happened at Blues on the Green. We just played.
He emailed us and he was like, I was looking for the Jim Morrison Experience. Yeah. He was very nice about it. He was like,
it was kind of sassy, though.
He was like, I was surprised to hear your original material instead. Just wanting to let you know there's a band with that name already.
Yeah, but what kind of dipstick doesn't look that up?
It's a cover, yeah.
There's probably like an IQ. There's an IQ imbalance with the fans of Wild Child. And so you guys, I mean, you have any, so wildchildsounds.com. Mm-hmm.
We do most of our stuff on Facebook, though.
Okay. And they're just Wild Child Austin, probably.
Yeah.
Your band thing.
Yeah.
I think I liked you guys on there. And so you have music available. Everyone can buy Pillow Talk.
We also have it streaming on our website for free.
Is there anything else I need to know? Is there any big shows? Oh, big shows. We already talked about them. Doesn't get much bigger than ACL.
We're playing Green Hall this month.
Yeah, Green Hall.
With Bob Schneider.
Yeah. He was just on the show last week.
Really?
Yep.
We're playing with him. Can't see him.
That's amazing. Are you excited?
Yeah, I love the Green Hall.
It's a good place. And it's a good place to play with him because you'll be playing to a full Green Hall.
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
so that's going to be good.
Totally.
And it's better than an empty Green Hall. I played that once.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been going to Green Hall a long time. So
I bet you have
cool,
out there.
They said
it's going to be a cool.
The manager said the last 4 times he's played, it's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. It'll be a nice big room.
Great.
Yeah.
And do you eat meat?
Mm-hmm.
There's a restaurant called the Grist Mill.
Oh, right baby.
There. You know,
I love the Grist Mill.
I love
the Grist Mill. I love the Grist Mill. That is my favorite.
I like how you just became like 30 Shades of Gay. That was amazing. I love the Grist Mill. Oh my God, I eat there all the time with potatoes.
You should really get the potatoes.
That's what makes me a bad hippie. I could eat barbecue. Yeah.
When is that show with Bob Schneider?
September 22nd.
Is that 22nd. On a weekend? Is that
yesterday?
A Saturday? It sounds like a Saturday.
Yeah, it's Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to be in New York next week.
Is it 22nd or is it the 20th?
It's either the 20th or the 22nd.
Playing all those nights there.
I got tickets for Fiona on the 20th, so I'm canceling the show.
I'm pretty sure it's the 22nd.
Okay.
Fiona Apple?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's going to be good.
I'm a fan.
Just are you?
Big fan, yeah.
Huge
big fan.
Mm-hmm. You got new,
what
new
else
new
do you guys listen to?
Let's see. Let's talk.
What do you guys... Yeah, let's talk about this. Shovels Carly Rae Jepsen fans.
Shovels and Rope are awesome. You should look up... That's a badass couple. This thing about killing each other and drinking booze.
What about Bird and Bee? Have you guys ever heard that?
Bird and Bee?
Yeah, the Bird and the Bee.
The Bird and the Bee.
Would you ever be my... Would you be my fucking boyfriend?
That's a good one. She and Him? That's another one?
She and Him.
Right?
That's Zooey Deschanel. She's too cool.
You're like, it doesn't count. She's too famous.
She's too cool.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
And cool. M. Ward. That's like, they were like, why don't we just make millions of dollars and record Christmas songs?
What do you feel like doing tomorrow? You want to make a shit ton of money just because of who we are?
I have a feeling that you guys are going to be, I feel like if I invite, maybe not you because you're a hippie, but in a year when you have, you know, Hummer.
Oh.
Alexander,
they just came out.
You might feel a little like I'm not going to go to that apartment guy's podcast. Bullshit. He pretends he lives on the lake.
They just came out with an electric Hummer.
Finally
plugs in. Yeah, it can only go.
I love that you would bring that information.
I heard it on NPR. It will only go 60 miles an hour though.
Hey, screw it.
You're gonna get a Hummer. Might as well get one you can plug in.
It's 80 grand. I told you I will not pay a cent under $100,000.
Because I want just half of
it. I need a car with
part
6 figures.
Of it. So is there anything else I'm missing? Is there?
I don't know. We're having fun. Are you
this is nice.
Us off?
I'm not kicking you off.
Will you play us a song?
Yeah.
Do you know any Bush?
I know the entire Bush catalog.
Oh, thank
but
God.
Only on Fellatiotron, Melodica. You guys know Lars Gornsen?
No.
He's this Swedish dude. He makes records here in town, but he saw me play this and he was like, so funny when you come out at the end and play the Fellatiotron.
Alexander jams on one of those once in a while.
Uh-huh.
Yep. We're working on our musical.
Oh, yeah.
Wild Child the Musical.
The Rats.
Yeah, dude. You want to hear a little bit?
Okay. Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Let's have a little of the Rats.
I think
Rats.
It's going to be...
I'm going to point the microphone this way. This is my incredible engineering. Set on my notes.
It's good. I'm not going to... You take this one.
You want me to take it?
Yeah, you take it.
teeth and has the moves and moves out to say the rats, the tiny little teeth and eyes and tears that move from side to side. The rats, they're spooky.
It's the champion piano player, Alexander.
Where's the cheese?
Alexander and Kelsey from Wild Child.
Wild Child the Musical.
Thank you guys for coming by. Get their album Pillow Talk. They're going to be very famous. See them at ACL or with Bob Schneider at Green Hall. Look at them. Look them up at wildchildsounds.com. Okay.
Now that you're an LA queen and away from you.
Oh, I love Wild Child. I want to be in that band. They're silly. Actually, Kelsey was telling me that some people don't like them because they're so silly. So I like them even more now for their silliness. And they're a great band. I wish them a lot of success. It looks like they're on the right track, right? This is pretty exciting seeing this on the early scene, right? They put out this record. There's a buzz going on. They're out there doing their thing. I'd like to thank my friend Melissa, their publicist, whom I've never met in the face. But she's hooked me up with these bands that I'm interviewing, a lot of bands today. They were the first of three. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Go out and get their album, Pillow Talk, Wild Child. They're amazing. Go get it. It's great. It's a very good feeling. Good feeling I get from their music. I get a good feeling from you guys listening to the podcast. I get a good feeling when you like us on Facebook. I get a good feeling when you subscribe on iTunes. And I get a good feeling when you follow me on Twitter. Okay? So here's some more Wild Child from their album, Pillow Talk. Thank you so much for listening. I love you all.
Round her